Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome. Today I'm joined by Eldur Olafsson, who's CEO at Amaroq Minerals. How are you today, Eldur?
I'm fine, thanks, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Right, Amaroq, maybe it is a company that not that many are familiar with. Maybe you could just run through what you do and where you operate.
Yeah, we are a mining mineral company in Greenland, primarily focused on South Greenland. And we hold one of the largest land packages in Greenland to date. We are one of the oldest operators in Greenland, meaning we've been investing and operating in Greenland for the past 8 years. And I believe we are the largest private investor also in Greenland with regards to mineral exploration and then development of our gold mine in Nalunaq.
And so for people who are not familiar with, obviously, your company, one thing, but also Greenland, what is the sort of the prospect and the potential of Greenland as a mining jurisdiction?
Yeah, so how I look at it is threefold. We obviously have the whole debate about what is the bottleneck of going green in the world. And then you obviously have political attention in relation to jurisdiction, where we're going to get our minerals, et cetera, et cetera. And in the old days, Greenland was often said to be the middle of nowhere, whereas actually I find Greenland is the middle of everywhere, meaning that Greenland sits next to Iceland. It is effectively a massive landmass between North America and Europe. And it's a landmass that hasn't been explored or developed to any extent in terms of mineral exploration and or, well, to some extent exploration, but mainly exploitation. So most of these resources that we have there, and certainly within our portfolio, they are already discoveries, meaning you discover something on surface due to the fact that the glacier has just basically retreated and there's not much that visually hinders you to see the minerals, right? Well, the second thing is Greenland is effectively a home-ruled government under the government of Greenlanders, I should say, but it's under a Danish jurisdiction. So you are working under the same standards as we have here in Scandinavia, which means that the legislation is sound, the whole understanding of how to operate, et cetera, is important. What has been a challenge or work that needs to be done is how do you operate in a place like that? How do you operate in a place that only has about 50,000 people? And that takes a bit of time to get there, but it also means you need a huge amount of investment. And that is what has been changing in Greenland for the past 10 years. Both the government, the Danish government, the US government, they've been investing in a massive amount of infrastructure, things like airports, harbors, power systems, like hydroelectric power system, et cetera, making Greenland much more accessible and much more easier to operate within. So the opportunity now is that this big, big frontier, which is of the size of Western Australia, is now opening up for, at a minimum, to secure minerals for the kind of a Western Hemisphere.
And so, I mean, just to sum up what you're saying, I presume that given that it's like virgin territory in terms of mining, that a lot of the low-hanging fruit is still there, which is not there in more mature mining situations or historic places in the world, like, you know, Europe or even in America.
Yes, so I would argue that. And effectively, I was on a meeting the other day, and effectively, there are not many frontiers left. You obviously have places like Greenland, and then you have some of the Arctic. But then you effectively have maybe Afghanistan and Colombia. But obviously, due to certain security problems, you don't have as much investment there as elsewhere. So this is a really good place to operate within. And I think as well, like in relation to the whole supply of minerals, is that it's also extremely well accessible due to the fact that the whole coastline has fjord system, which makes it easier to bring product online and in the day and age kind of a way how we secure our whole pipeline of minerals, et cetera, et cetera.
And you mentioned Denmark. The other added bonus is that you're effectively in a new tier one jurisdiction.
Correct. So the legislation has been set up correctly. They only put it up in 2009, and they made some amendment in 2012, and then again only a couple of years ago. But it follows all of the standards in relation to, you know, how you pay taxes, royalties, the salary level there is similar to what you have in Scandinavia, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a stable and good jurisdiction to operate within. But what I would argue as well is that when I started operating in Greenland, but the team here, I had criticism when people said, how are you going to operate? There are few people who live there. How are you going to build up your mine, et cetera, et cetera? Whereas in my mind, this is one of the great opportunity of Greenland, meaning that in places like in Europe or in US, due to the density of population within these countries, it's very hard to build something. We've seen this in Europe. We've seen this in US. So to get permits for mines, to get all of these different things to be done, due to the fact that there is always a town or something very, very close to it. You see it even here in the UK. Whereas in Greenland, we are in a very pristine and beautiful environment, and we make sure we operate there at the highest standard. But then at the same time, there is no one there. There is very few people living around us. And on top of that, in terms of nature and so on, it's not like you're in the middle of a forest breaking down trees. There is basically bare rock and very little biodiversity at this stage. So how we see things as the company is that we don't effectively only come into mine. We obviously have to build up the whole infrastructure of our project, meaning camps, which we already have, 50-person camp. We have to build up energy infrastructure. And then we have to build up relationship with the people there in Greenland, which we have been doing. And part of that is to build together with them the energy infrastructure, the green energy infrastructure we need for our mine, but also for the local communities. So we often say we mine for the short term, but for the longer term, we're actually leaving something behind and taking advantage of the fact that we have infrastructure that we are setting up, which is non-existent today, which makes it quite expensive for the local population to build up a greener future. We can do two things there for the short term and for the long term. When I speak about long term, I'm talking about obviously tens or even hundreds of years, right?
That sort of brings us neatly to where is Amaroq now in terms of what it's looking at, what its activities are, etc.
Yeah, so we're entering our busiest season ever in the past we've been operating since 2014 in Greenland. We have funding of a total of approximately $100 million in place. And this $100 million is directed to A, exploration of 5 to 7 assets, drilling of 5 to 7 assets. These are copper, nickel, rare earth, and then 3 gold assets, right? We are then developing our Nalunaq gold mine to start mining in the coming years. So we are drilling that asset, and then we are developing effectively a mine, which is, this is a past producing mine. And how we see it is that we get Nalunaq operates as our operating base and the cash flow producing asset to fund the exploration of these potential world-class deposits that are sitting all around us. So we're well funded. We have a cash flow on the horizon. And then we have this fantastic potential of world-class minerals that we are actually drilling this summer on this year and as well for the next 2 years, which makes it, in our mind, a very exciting opportunity. And I think we are the busiest, or if not the most busiest company that ever worked in Greenland so far in terms of meters drilled, in terms of investment, in terms of a portfolio of assets that we have within our remit.
Okay, so currently you've got a market cap of over 100 million. So obviously the market is aware of the potential of your company. How much do you think that reflects, the current market cap reflects what you could achieve?
Well, you're right. I mean, we're always going between currencies, but we have a market of 100 million. We have a liquidity of approximately the same, or cash, or access to cash of approximately the same, which means that we think we have a huge potential to increase value here. The work in Nalunaq, which is to bring that into cash flow, will immediately give us a move from being a developer to effectively a producer. And then we are then drilling every single year all of these assets around Nalunaq, and then we use Nalunaq as an operating base. So as soon as we are funded to cash flow, then all of a sudden you can start putting your focus on all of these satellite deposits around us. And the value of those assets in our mind should be much, much greater. And we are obviously also unlocking that value by drilling that, we feel, right?
So you think that even though obviously it's a decent market cap now compared to many, maybe your competitors in more long-standing jurisdictions, the inflection point for the business will come in the run-up to production, but also with further drilling and proving out your assets.
Yes, we're just entering a whole summer of drilling here. So that means more ounces. We're building up our resource base. There's a massive growth in the resource base, we feel, right? But then secondly, we're really well capitalized and we have access not only to the London market, but we also have an access to the Icelandic market that we just got listed on. And we have been contemplating going from effectively what you would say a market in Iceland up to a main board listing in Iceland, which should give us hopefully much more liquidity within the company and allow institutional investors to further participate in the company. So there are several inflection points here for the company going forward, not only within the company what we do with the capital we have so far, but also in terms of liquidity and accessibility to capital that we have at the moment.
You're obviously going to be busy going into the summer seasonally anyway. What's the aspect of your projects that you think investors should be following most keenly?
Yeah, so I think the baseline for all of it is the Nalunaq gold mine. And we have a resource there of 320,000 ounces at 28 gram per ton, making this mine one of the highest grade gold mines in the world today. So we are already drilling in Nalunaq to increase the resources. We have a model there, which we call dolerite dike model, that predicts really well how to drill and how to increase resources, which we are just working on the back of as we speak right now. So I would follow that immediately. Then we are going to go into the strategic mineral portfolio that we have now fully funded with a group called JCAM, led by JCAM and more capital, where we have in total 18 million sterling to drill and develop that portfolio of nickel, copper, and rare earth. So we're starting that in June, July. And then going further into the season, June, July, August, we will go and we'll be developing and starting to set up the mine, getting the mine contractor, which is Thyssen Group on site, preparing to set up the processing plant in the fall and early winter. And then we will start developing mining the fall in early 2024. So you can see there is a lot on the horizon, both in the resource growth and getting us towards cash flow, which will then support even further resource growth in the area. And within the gold belt that we are operating, we have satellite deposit very close by our current operation. So during the exploration stage there, it will be quite interesting for us to be able to, for example, look at doing bulk sample or something like that and move to Nalunaq and then further grow the resource potential within the area. So there's a lot to be said here in a very few words. Well, I'm trying to choose very few words, as you can hear, but there's a lot of activity and a lot of inflection points that we have within the company to create substantial amount of value, we feel, to our shareholders.
Well, we look forward to hearing about more of that, those inflection points. In the meantime, Eldur Ólafsson, CEO at Amaroq, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.